Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we've got to talk about healthcare. Did you notice that healthcare is going up? Every time we turn around, it sounds like healthcare is increasing. I read a statistic here recently, over 5% increase in healthcare. But there's different parts of healthcare that are going up at a much more rapid rate. So your own personal experience with healthcare and the inflation that we're experiencing in this area of the economy may be significantly different. When I say that, I mean higher, of course. So we need to address this because this could be a significant part of your overall financial situation or could certainly impact it. And there's, of course, been a lot talked about and written and televised about healthcare and what's been changing in the Affordable Care Act and all the fighting and yanking and jerking and running around and craziness related to all of that. So what do we do? Well, we try to follow it the best we can. And when we have an opportunity, and Beth has outdone herself again with lining up another wonderful guest for us to weigh in on this subject, Jane O'Donnell is a healthcare reporter for USA Today. She's also an author and contributor. She's agreed to be with us on the program today, and she's worked for two decades at USA Today for focus on the healthcare policy and the healthcare industry, lucky for us. And she's also won many public service and journalism awards, healthcare and public and auto safety. She also, in addition to USA Today, she's a longtime columnist for Women's Day, which is excellent. That's a great another aspect to what she does, and does freelance articles for Good Housekeeping and Parents Magazine. She's appeared on Good Morning America, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, Fox Business, C-SPAN, and of course, Real Money with David Holland now. So welcome, Jane, to the program.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I will correct that. I was a longtime columnist for Women's Day, but I'm not doing that now. There's not enough time in the day for.
Well, then
everything.
Listen, we'll give you a pass on that. That's okay.
I did it for many years.
Yeah, I bet you have, and I love your work and what you're doing with this. This is great, and I just wanted to present you as a complete, well-rounded person.
I'm multimedia. That's very important these days.
Yes, you are, and I tell you what, we need multimedia to keep track of what's happening in healthcare, and I love that we've seen some of your great work here recently with some of the articles coming out. You know, there's a lot of things that I think that for those of us out in the, the real world, or maybe a better way to say it, us lay people out here that don't follow healthcare as an industry as closely as you do, there's a lot of things that we're not aware of. I mean, there's several things that, you know, with the drug makers and their involvement in patient groups and some of these other things I'd love for you to speak to us today about and give us kind of a peek into what's driving some of these healthcare cost increases and, you know, where is there maybe some conflict of interest and what are things we need to know about with regard to this?
Sure. We journalists call the consumers that we talk to real people because, as I say, as someone who's been based in Washington all these years, as opposed to some of these, you know, people that are paid a lot of money to give talking points. Mm. But I've actually covered healthcare just 2.5 years and was a long time more of a consumer reporter, and auto safety, and covered a lot of things like that. So it's been very interesting for me to learn, along with everyone else, what really is going on here, and it was fascinating to me recently. I think you noticed the story about the patient groups and how much money they're getting. Often it's from the drug companies, and often it's money so that for these programs that give people who can't afford them free drugs. But you know, one of the problems is that drug prices are rising so quickly, so much faster than anything else. The story in the paper today talks about the quote-unquote remarkable increase in 2014. The numbers are a little bit behind, and it's expected to stay at that same high level through 2015 and into 2016. So we're all really getting socked by the prescription drug prices, and all of us, whether we work or are on Medicare and are retired, are paying more out of pocket than we used to, and it's a scary thing.
Well, it is scary, and it can be very alarming for somebody who is very dependent on specific types of drugs, and seeing these increases, and maybe their health plan doesn't cover as much, or whatever the case may be. And I know some of these life extending and really some of the nasty stuff that some people deal with, some of the drugs can be just exorbitant.
So important to ask your doctor, you know, when you do get hit with one of these huge price increases for, you know, whether it's because of, you know, out-of-pocket costs in your insurance plan in a new year or just a drug increase, you know, ask your doctor, is this the right drug for me? Does this really, you know, is this really the only one that where I can get these results? Because often there are these deals with pharmacy benefit managers, which I've written about recently and hope to be writing about more, the Express Scripts and CVS Caremark. And, you know, they're kind of the middlemen. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they're always recommending the best drugs for you, if you know, for your own out-of-pocket costs.
Well, you make an excellent point there, Jane, and I just want to maybe just ratchet it up one level. You know, we are our best own advocate, and, you know, it's okay to ask questions. You know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for doctors and other medical practitioners, but it is very much okay to ask questions and say, you know, we've had this drug, we've used this, I've seen the rate increases. Is there anything else out that's come out that's new that we should take a look at? And hey, by the way, I do watch television and I've seen the commercials and they do ask me to ask you about it. Blame it on the TV.
Right.
I blame the TV commercials for asking the doctor about maybe another option. But, you know, I in the work I do, I don't take that personally. If somebody asks me if something else that they've seen, hey, would this fit in my plan or is this something we should look at? Sure. Hey, why not?
Right, and the insurance companies, you know, everybody likes to demonize everybody, and it's fairly easy because
because there are a lot of demons. That's why.
That's a good point. But yeah. The insurance companies have something called clinical pathways that they're trying to get a lot of doctors, particularly oncologists, to go along with, because they have a lot of data that they say certain drugs are, you know, make a bigger difference, and they're incentivizing doctors to steer people towards those drugs. Now, that can be questionable or raise questions for some people, but it might do them a favor. It might help them in the long run, because this country's not going to be able to sustain these continued higher drug prices, and you know, so many of these companies aren't going to be able to keep it up.
Well, I heard you almost say we're all in this together.
Yeah, I met with somebody this morning from Blue Cross Blue Shield in Michigan, and he said, I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, but they had 1,600 patients, and they spent $50 million in a year on Hep C, hepatitis C drugs.
Good Lord.
I mean, that's just not sustainable.
No, it's not. Well, I want to dig in a little deeper for why it's not, what's driving this? Why are the costs going up so much, especially with drugs? And as we look at the overall healthcare delivery system, we'll grab a quick break, come back and talk about that. Jane O'Donnell, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest, healthcare reporter for USA Today. And you can go to usatoday.com and get a lot more information. And one more thing, too, before we go to the break, co-author of a book. Jane wrote a book with Kit Yarrow. Is that correct?
Yep, Yarrow.
Yeah. PhD, they co-wrote a book, Gen Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail. Let's grab that break and come right back with Jane.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Dignity Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
Hey there, we're back. Jane O'Donnell on the line with us, healthcare reporter for USA Today. And as I mentioned before the break, she's co-written the book with Kit Yarrow, Gen Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail, which I have to have you come back and talk about that as well, Jane. We don't have room for it because we need to dig in a little deeper to talk about this drug thing. So we recognize that this is a major issue. Can we distill it down a little bit and give me kind of some nuts and bolts on why the drug costs are going up so much faster than overall inflation and overall healthcare inflation by like triple the amount?
Well, a couple things. And of course, it depends on who you ask. I'll be neutral on the subject.
Right.
But on one side, you have people who say it's because the drug companies are overstating their research costs.
That
it really doesn't cost this much, and because the federal government doesn't have the ability to negotiate prices for Medicare, so they can do whatever they want. There's no other segment of the healthcare world that can just price things however they want to price them. But the drug makers can. The drug makers, for their part, will say that they actually developing drugs cost an extraordinarily large amount of money, and that it takes forever. You don't necessarily hear about the efforts that haven't come to fruition, but they're developing some very expensive and perhaps very effective, much more effective cancer drugs, some of which are going to come out this year. So as you get to these higher priced specialty drugs for cancer and heart disease, that's really the problem. And the drug companies say that, you know, it costs them a lot to develop them.
Mm.
I mean, clinical trials and all that is very expensive.
Well, and you also have that, not specifically on drug prices, but you have that filtering its way into healthcare as there are other areas where we just see a huge expense. It always seems to be where it's really, and this obviously makes a lot of sense, is it's where it's really, you know, quite literally life and death that at these drugs, and it seems as though cost containment in the face of that is really not even in the back seat of the car, it's in the trunk.
Yeah, except for some people. I talked to a very interesting woman recently who wasn't that old. I mean, I think she was in her 60s, but she had cancer, and that if it came back, she didn't see herself treating it. She was not going to be cured, and she didn't want to leave her husband bankrupted.
Wow.
I mean, it costs such an incredible amount of money to treat some of these diseases, and that's one of the pushes from this gentleman I quoted in my story today,
yeah.
Peter Bach from Memorial Sloan Kettering. He's been kind of at the forefront of research on this. I mean, the trade-off and what's the value.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all want to live as long as we can, but, you know, to get an additional life, a year of life, and perhaps not a very good one either with all the side effects, is it worth, like as this woman put it, you know,
yeah,
bankrupting your family?
Well, that is the question. You know, I don't think there's a person on the planet that, you know, staring down their own mortality and death that, you know, doesn't want more time. I mean, I had somebody in my office the other day, Jane, you'll like this, that We're talking about their longevity. They got a huge amount of longevity in their family. Everybody lives to 105. And they said to me, they said, you know, I don't know that I want to live to 100. I said, yeah, that's until you're 99.
Yeah, that's right. But some people say, and I heard from some readers, would you rather have a year, you know, on chemotherapy and expensive chemotherapy, or 3 months to travel around the country in an RV?
I'll take the RV.
Yeah, I think a lot of us would do that, and it would cost our families less money.
Yeah, it would. Well, and on the side though, with some neutrality here, how are you seeing the proliferation or the usage of the dispensing or the provision of some of these very expensive drugs at no cost to certain people based on their economic financial situation?
Well, it's an interesting point. I mean, some people criticize these programs because the drug makers will point to them and say, well, you know, it isn't such a big deal. The people that can't afford the drugs are able to get them through these programs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's the definition of can and can't afford.
Yeah.
Some people are middle class and they might have the money, but we're back to, spending all the money, all of their savings on the drugs. And what if the prices were simply lower across the board?
Right.
That's what gets into, thorny political issues on price controls.
Do we really need to bankrupt you before we'll give it to you for free?
Right.
That's what it is. It's always the monkey in the middle. You know, it's like that kid game with playing keep away, and you're the monkey in the middle if you're in the middle class. And it's the same with long-term care. It's the same with, all of these things and getting to a place where, okay, now I qualify for the safety net, and did I have to really get there to begin with without maybe something on the front end that might have been a little more, I don't know. You're right. It is political.
Well, right. And as we talked about, I am working on the story this week where I'm kind of giving personal finance advice, which is more your area of expertise, but just kind of helping people understand when you're dealing with elder care for your parents or for yourself, how does it work? How much do you have to spend before you're eligible for Medicaid?
Yeah.
And what will Medicaid even cover? I mean, I was just reading my colleague who's helping me with the story. I mean, at some point, a lot of people, you have to sell your house. You have to, your car can only be worth a certain amount of money.
That's right. You really have to be, I mean, and this again, this is a political question. It's a little bit of a societal question. Is, when do we step in as a people and help people with these kinds of situations? And you do have to be pretty much impoverished for there to be this response to pay for your care, and people without. It is, again, back to that monkey in the middle. I've had people come in and I've met with them and talked with them, Jane, and, they say, well, should I get long-term care insurance? How do I do this? Do I spend down my assets? Do I, talk to an attorney that will help me look broke? How do I do this? And it really is a challenge because for a lot of situations, I go, you know what? It doesn't make financial sense for you to buy and pay $5,000-$6,000 a year for long-term care based on your assets. You're really better off taking your chances. And if you end up having to spend it down, then that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you're working on that article. Let's give them the listeners a website or an email address where they can, if they've had an experience with Medicaid and Medicare and qualifying for this and dealing with an elder who has gone through this, let's give them the email address is healthinsurance@USA.com and
USAtoday.com.
USAtoday.com.
So just health insurance all together at USAtoday.com. Yeah, I'd love to hear from people who, are upset that they have to spend down all their assets, are confounded by the whole Medicaid works for their elderly parents. I went through this last year, as I mentioned to you, and it was just mind-numbingly complicated, the whole process.
Not pleasant, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely get people to do that. Healthinsurance@USAtoday.com if you'd like to spout off a little bit and share with Jane about some of your own personal experiences. We're going to grab a break and come back and talk more with Jane O'Donnell, healthcare reporter at USA Today, right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. The Wise Aquatics program is designed to teach personal water safety, stroke development, water sports, games, rescue, and personal growth skills. All participants are taught by our trained and certified YMCA aquatic instructors. For more information on how your YMCA can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there.
Done right, done on time, or it's free. Hi, this is Steve Tassinelli, and I'm a CPA with Holland Tax and Accounting Services. Our tax team holds the same values our clients have trusted for almost 20 years at Holland Financial. We have the expertise to help you manage your financial priorities year-round, not just during tax season. Whether you're an individual or a business, you can rely on Holland Tax for personalized service and attention to detail. Call 386-671-7526 to have your taxes done right, done on time, or it's free. That's 386-671-7526.
Okay, we're back. Jane O'Donnell on the line with us, healthcare reporter for USA Today. And we gave that email address if you'd like to send some information and some of your thoughts or experiences on Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care, and dealing with those issues, health insurance at usatoday.com. Jane, I want to go to maybe a little bit more of a pleasant conversation, if we can, aspect of healthcare that with this companies, health companies, insurance companies, the different providers involved with hospitals with digital records, that we've got the electronic digital record and how this has been embraced. I read your article about that in a high percentage of adoption. So how is this playing out, and what are we seeing benefits from this at this point?
Well, you know, it depends on whether you've been to the hospital lately. It's funny because I had to laugh a little bit when you said pleasant, because I think it'll be more pleasant for us, but if you've been to a doctor lately, you know it's not always very pleasant for them.
Yeah,
they're often
yeah.
cursing at their computer while
right.
they're supposed to be talking, hopefully talking to you or making a little eye contact. You know, I found I had to have minor surgery last year and went to a few different specialists, and it was just stunning to me that even in one of these so-called, they're called accountable care organizations, you know, where the hospital basically buys your doctor's group because
right, right.
the doctors can't afford to be on their own anymore with the cost of all the electronic records.
Sure.
But they don't even talk to each other a lot at the different hospital systems. So that's a challenge, but they vow it's going to get a lot better. So that is in the works, and it should make it much easier for us to stay on top of, you know, our health care, because we're going to be paying so much more out of pocket that we really
yeah.
need to keep an eye on it, and whether it's for yourself or, you know, for a adult child to be keeping an eye on their parents' care. It's very helpful if you can have access to the records and if all the doctors are talking to each other, because so much, as you well know, it's, you know, the repetitive testing and things that are done. That's one of the big reasons healthcare costs are so high.
Yeah. Well, what about safety and security concerns?
Yeah, the security, not a thing, not a day goes by, it seems, that there isn't some sort of a breach of healthcare data. And it's another story that I'm going to be working on at some point. I mean, I have heard that there are a fair number of cases where people end up losing their health insurance once they're their medical data is stolen. But the concern, the safety concern is I think a little more, or I believe, I take more seriously, there are problems where the systems aren't uniform and people are doing things quickly, and whether it's safer or less safe than written records, anyone knows that's seen a doctor's written record that it wasn't, they aren't necessarily all that legible.
Yeah.
Remains to be seen, but there are a fair number of studies on both sides showing either problems or improvements. So the jury's still out, but there are some real problems that happen, particularly in emergency rooms.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, these are things we have to pay attention to. And again, the underlying tone here, I think, that I'd like the listeners to pick up on, Jane, is that you got to pay attention. You got to be your advocate, and you've got to speak up and don't
ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's a generational thing.
Sure.
Some people don't like to, like, kind of as you said at the beginning, some people don't like to, speak up to a doctor.
They
hold them with, a little more reverence than perhaps.
Well, I can tell you, Jane, I have doctors as clients, and you know what? They're people too. and when I get in my environment, then I'm the doctor. So it's kind of an interesting
role reversal.
Yeah, but they're good people. And the final thing I want to get to, we barely have enough time, just to get a quick word from you on this, because I know you wrote about this recently, is racial disparities and infant mortality. So we got about a minute left. Give me kind of a thumbnail sketch of what's been going on there. I know you wrote about that as well.
Yeah, I wrote about the fact that there is a solution. So often there's no clear solution, but there's a program that sends nurses into the home of new mothers, usually low-income mothers, to help them, with parent coaching and just making sure they're doing the right thing. So it's very needed. I mean, we have infant mortality comparable to third world countries in parts of the South.
That's true.
And it's very costly because so many of these babies, emotionally, but if the babies die, but these premature births can be prevented, and it's just very sad and very expensive, and there is something that needs to be done.
Yeah, horribly sad, Jane, and the expense is not to be overlooked. I will give you a little, good news on this front to kind of augment what you said, is in our own local community in our area, Healthy Start is an organization that has been working very deliberately on what you just spoke about.
Yes, I've heard of that program.
They're having tremendous successes,
yep.
And we're a big fan and supporter of theirs. And so there's hope for that, and people just need to, again, pay attention and be tuned into all of this. And I'm glad you had time for us, Jane. This is very helpful for our listeners to understand how these things are happening.
Sure, my pleasure, and hope to hear from some of them.
Oh, you will. Healthinsurance@usatoday.com.
Right.
Jane, thank you for being with us. Jane O'Donnell, ladies and gentlemen, healthcare reporter for USA Today. Thank you again. We'll have you back, Jane.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.